Have you heard of brand archetypes? And you are wondering if the creator or the creative or the artist, something like that, is one of them. Or on the other hand, you have a very creative business. Maybe you are a designer, like a fashion designer or a brand designer, or you make home goods physically by hand and sell them on Etsy. So you assume that the creator archetype is right for you, and it might be. But in today's episode, we're going to be looking at all the details behind the creator archetype, what makes them unique, and what makes them applicable to many different types of businesses across the board. So keep your mind open and let's dive in. Welcome to Emma Givens Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does three incredibly powerful things. One, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. Two, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And three, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. Something we use a ton in our business, especially when we're creating really unique brand messaging for clients before we go into amazing website copy or really killer social media, is we look at their brand archetype. So we look at a few different things. We have an archetype mix that we use, but if you're curious, you can learn more about it by reading about the brand messaging Bible. We'll have a card up here on YouTube that lets you see it, or in the description or show notes, if you're on the podcast version, we'll link you to our brand messaging Bible page so you can look at everything that's included, especially the brand archetype section. But for the sake of this video, we're going to talk about identifying one primary archetype for a business. The system we work with has 12 main archetypes that were identified by Carl Jung, a psychologist from the 20th century. And there are many subtypes, but for the sake of those 12, we are creating episodes one every single month from 2022, I guess, all the way through, halfway through 2023, to go into what really makes each archetype unique and what that means as a business owner. Because it does describe the founder typically, especially if it's a small business and the founder has a really big role in it. But also, how does the archetype show up in your visual branding, in your language? And we're, of course, going to mostly focus on language because this is a channel, of course, about primarily writing. So let's dive straight into the creator archetype. But if you're curious, if you haven't explored archetypes before, you can also check out this other video where I go into the basics, all you need to know about the concept of brand archetypes. Today is very much dedicated to archetype, the creator. One very specific example. All right, so let's get the visual stuff out of the way. What colors does the creator normally embody or use in their visual branding? Well, they're typically bold primary colors and very saturated. So there actually are quite a variety of colors that creators will use as long as they are bold and primary and saturated. So for example, red is a huge one. It could be white, but you'll also see like purple and yellow and black, I would say, are the other common ones. And this shows up a little bit in the research as well. But essentially, they need to be really vivid, really bold. Now, subconsciously, you might have chosen one of these colors, and maybe that's a sign that you are a creator in terms of the way that you already think. But you may find that they more show up as like a highlight, or if you're looking to create really mature branding that's very fresh, your visual brand designer, if you're not one yourself, will oftentimes end up inadvertently, even if they don't use the archetype system in their branding process, you'll notice that often there is at least a highlight color or a low light that falls into the main colors of your archetype. So in this case, the creator. Core values. The creator values the act of creation because it gives them a sense of control over their life. And it also builds their self-esteem. So I think it's a really positive expression of control in a sense. So you can think of artists that had really difficult lives, maybe were even tormented, but there was a sense of meaning that came about when they were able to put something on the canvas, something they did have control over. Greatest driving desires, to be a cultural pioneer, to deal with what's out of control about life, to create environments of good taste, and create something of long-lasting value. Some of their core fears are mediocrity in both their vision and the execution of that vision, conformity, and judgment, which is really rough. If you are a creative, you know, you're sharing your work with the world, and that kind of invites hopefully constructive criticism, but it's a very hard one to take it personally. And I think that creates that fear of judgment over time, is the pain that you can feel if you haven't developed a thicker skin or developed the resources to deal with constructive or really unpleasant feedback. Eventually you get really scared of sharing things with people and judgment if you don't learn how to handle it healthily. So examples like that are yet another reason beyond like using your archetype for marketing. They're yet another reason why it's incredibly powerful to know your archetype, because it gives you insight into yourself and the potential pitfalls you might have as a business owner, as a service provider, product designer, as a team member. It just helps you know about yourself, because your archetype, the business archetype, the primary archetype, usually does reflect your primary archetype as a human being, as the founder, especially when it's a solopreneur venture, a small team, or a fairly new business that the founder is still really involved in. How you make your customers feel: unique, before their time, recognized, free to try out new things, and full of meaning. The brand promise is to create something of lasting value, and that might be of beauty, of joy, of change to the world, of preserving the environment, whatever it is, to create something of lasting value. And they want to do that for their customer, and maybe, very often I would say for creators, ideally for the culture, something bigger than themselves and just for the customer. I would have to say that in my experience, a lot of creators want to be recognized and they want to be remembered, like a lot of artists and musicians. And I think it makes sense. You know, you want your work to be seen by the world, because of course you're proud of it. It makes you feel good. But also that's that drive that the creator has to leave a mark on the world, leave something of enduring value. People have to see it in order to have that kind of experience from it. Next, I'm going to give you some strategies for connection with your potential customers or clients. I would say one of the most helpful strategies is to avoid saying you'll do it all for them. For some target audiences and for some archetypes, that is a huge bonus. People love, like a lot of my clients, love to know they can relax, everything's going to be taken care of for them. But oftentimes for clients or customers that are attracted to the creator, they really like to be involved. They want maybe a do-it-yourself feel, or at least to have collaborated and contributed in some way, or at a minimum to have choice over the final result of something, even if it's just picking the final color of a product that you have standardized, but that maybe they can add a little bit to, but choosing the right color, maybe it's engraved, for example. They really want the result to be unique to them and to feel that they were involved enough that it kind of embodies their personality to a certain extent. The next strategy is a little bit more dependent on what it is that you offer, but if possible, help them to practice and develop artistic control or abilities, especially in areas that they were kind of timid to try out before. So it could be literally trying out a certain type of craft for the first time if you offer craft supplies. It could be taking the lead on your home and taking ownership of it in the sense that you DIY projects or you do your own painting, and it's maybe something that they were afraid to do for the first time or they really wanted to do, and maybe it's something that's a traditionally feminine area that's seen that way, and so you're encouraging men or people who identify as men to embrace them. I think that knowing your clients enough or your customers enough to create something that makes them feel like, oh, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone and it's going well, that's incredible for creator brands. So as a founder, I'm going to speak specifically to that. Some of your greatest strengths, because you embody the creator archetype, they are creativity, nonconformity, a great sense of the aesthetic, a strong imagination or a penchant for innovation, nonlinear thought, dedication, being hardworking, and I mean, this one could be double-sided in the sense, but achievement-oriented. Results they happen usually with creator types. There are some subtypes where there's kind of the tormented artist, perhaps, subset, and that is not going to be a healthy expression of the creator or of that achievement-oriented personality. But oftentimes, being achievement-oriented or being results-oriented means that there's productivity in your business, and for better or worse, businesses, at least the way they are right now, they have to be productive, right? So it can be a really strong asset as a business owner. Potential downfalls that you might have as a business owner, especially if you're embodying an unhealthy expression of the creator archetype, like the tormented artist, for example, could include over-dramatization or taking things super, super personally. And that's really hard not to, whether, you know, you do consider yourself generally like psychologically a healthy person, you still might have a hard time when you get feedback. And I think that's normal and it comes from experience and practice too, but something to be really aware of and also to know you're not alone. There's lots of people who embody the creator archetype and who do creative work who have a hard time hearing feedback and have to practice it. Perfectionism is also a potential pitfall, let's call it that. It shows up very often in a lot of creators. And it may show up in you, even if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I actually don't think I'm a creator. I'm just curious now. Of course, as a human being, you may embody elements of many different archetypes, or they may be super strong in one area of your life and less in another. Maybe in your business, you are a super creator. And that's where your perfectionism kind of shows its ugly head. So it's just something to be aware of. This one's super interesting, and it seems to resonate when I do show the creator type to our clients and they're trying to decide, does this feel right? I'm recommending types to them, for example. Depression due to a failure to make meaning or just feeling like something is meaningless. That is just agony for, it hurts a lot of people, but it's just agony for creator types. There has to be a sense of meaning or creating your own meaning by what you create in the world or how you express yourself or you perform or any of that. It's so important to creators, and it creates a sense of being lost if there isn't meaning making happening pretty much at all times. Here are some brand storytelling ideas. I would definitely share stories about when you went with the imaginative route or the artistic idea or the unexpected way, because it felt right to you, even when other people thought it didn't make any sense and it wasn't logical. Especially share these stories when they did turn out well. Sometimes you want to be super vulnerable and honest and like, hey, this is me learning the lesson of embracing failure, for example. And then you might give them a few examples of when you tried, it didn't work. But oftentimes the best examples of these stories do end in success despite the naysayers, because there are huge benefits to being able to think outside the box like a creative. Now, of course, it can also be great to share similar stories about other figures they're inspired by. So oftentimes these will be people who are in the arts or arts adjacent, and they may be literal like artists, they may be performers, they may be architects, but sometimes, and it depends on your brand as well, being able to draw in stories like that from other people gives you more content to work with. And sometimes you can use it for analogies as well. And that gives you just more breadth in the stories you're able to tell. Now, you also want to provide DIY or do-it-yourself options and opportunities whenever possible. And so you might tell the story of, you know, someone who did it on their own and it was amazing for this, this, and that reason. In contrast, someone who did it collaboratively with you and also had this, this, and that benefit. And you can definitely tweak those stories depending on which way you want them to go, right? So maybe they had both amazing results, but the person who handed most of it off to you and just collaborated got things done 3 months earlier, for example. So you can talk about just basically there's more benefits on this side. It gives you options. In terms of techniques that you would use when telling stories, definitely embrace symbolism and artistic or literary allusions or like references to famous paintings or, you know, stories or places that really speak to the creative soul of your ideal customer. You might also want to embrace speaking openly to both the positive and negative parts of life, the parts that, especially from their perspective, the parts that feel in control and the parts that feel out of control. Those are probably how they define positive and negative. And of course, speak to how your product creates joy or beauty or flexibility. That can be another huge one that's a lasting value. Now let's be really concrete. Let's talk about some ways that the creator influences your brand voice. For example, you might give famous musician or artist-inspired names to your products or services, like the Picasso. You might reference artistic tools like palettes, for example, and you could be really specific or, you know, say color palette versus palette, but in general, You want to reference what someone might have in their studio or on the stage or backstage around them whenever possible. Of course, you want it to be natural, but you would be surprised if you're actively looking for analogies, for example. You might use an analogy of like behind the scenes in a theater, for example. You can also use references to places with really strong relationships to performance, to creativity, to the arts. So it could be the concept of a gallery or a museum in general, or it could be a specific reference to the Uffizi, or it could be, you know, the Art Gallery of Ontario, for example. I'm also thinking of concert venues like the Apollo that's super famous, or even smaller venues or old clubs like CBGB in New York. I'm also thinking you could definitely use cities that are highly associated with the arts as well. So for me, the main thing that comes to mind is Florence, but I would say maybe Paris as well, you know, knowing the amount of art that is in the Louvre is incredible. You can also use specific creator words like, of course, imagine or creative, but also things like talent, do it yourself, draw, paint, and actually in creative ways too that you wouldn't necessarily, that's not literal, like physically painting like an artist, especially if your product actually isn't, you know, art supplies, that sort of thing. But instead, let's say it's a service that you provide. You can say something on the sales page when you're talking about the benefits or trying to inspire them to action, to believe something better is possible. You could say something like, now let's paint a picture of your life with service or your life with product. First thing that comes to mind, but paint a picture of still uses the word paint. Finally, I'd also recommend that you use the word you singular when you're talking to your audience versus y'all, you all, you guys, etc. They really want to feel unique, someone who's attracted to the creator, whether they are a creator themselves or they're just attracted to the creator archetype. They still want to feel unique. That's why they're coming to that brand. So speaking to them like to one person is also helpful because it's like the best practice in sales copy in general. It tends to perform better, especially when you're writing, you know, a sales page, right? Something that's meant to convert to a sale. But in general, you know, on social media and your blog posts, when you reference your audience, you can do the you singular as well and see some positive benefits for the people who are attracted to the creator. Now, this is connected to the brand voice, but there's some key phrases that hopefully will inspire you that you might borrow. Some of them are super obvious, some of them aren't. Out of the box, of course, comes to mind. Wonders never cease. Create the life of your dreams. Life imitates art. Share your hidden talent and the power of imagination. All right, the last thing we're going to talk about are some famous brands, personalities, etc., that are the creator archetype, at least their primary archetype, their dominant archetype is the creator. So let's start with brands, and some of them are going to be really obvious. Lego, Etsy, they both make sense, right? There's both literal, you know, artistic creativity going on. I mean, Lego is also on the side of like engineering kind of creativity, and Etsy could be not just that they're painting things, but also that they've invented something really clever that is useful for your house. But in general, it makes sense, right? They, of course, they're creator brands. Adobe, very similar. It gives you the opportunity to be the creator. That would be very appealing to a lot of people who are attracted to the brand. And Pinterest. And I would say that really falls into creating the life that you want. So that starts to move away from being very, very, let's say, like creating physical objects. This is more creating in an abstract sense. And just because I didn't want to give specific brands that came to mind for these categories, I did want to mention that a lot of visual brand designers, sometimes website designers, often they will also end up being the creator. I do not consider myself the creator archetype just because in who I am as a business owner and what my business represents, other archetypes are much stronger. But ultimately, as a human, I would say I am a creative person. There are other things about me that I think are stronger, but of course I'm a writer that I have a creator element to myself. And so I can resonate with it a lot. And I'm sure other copywriters resonate with it way, way more. But it's just not the main one for me. So it's really important that you get to know all 12 of the dominant archetypes so that way you can decide which ones actually truly represent who you are, who you want to be the most, and go from there. Some personalities include Walt Disney, Dame Judi Dench, Mozart. On Instagram, there's a creator called Quigley whose real name is Casey Good, and she's a great example as well of a creator. Basically, remember, if you resonate with the values, if you resonate with using art as a way to improve self-esteem, get a little bit more control over life, you are super, super driven by creating something of lasting value for yourself, for others, for culture, for society, you know, you're probably a creator, no matter what your business is. It doesn't really matter. Of course, some people are going to be drawn to more business types because it's kind of naturally conducive to their natural archetype. But you could run any business and find ways to be the creator. And it's wonderful. All right. If you enjoyed this episode, then please make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel and to the podcast, because we have both. Both of them are Emma Gibbons content and copy. Thank you so much for joining me today. I will see you next week. But also, if you haven't seen it yet, make sure you go over right now to watch the Explorer Brand Archetype video. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Gibbons Content and Copy. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, let's make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Gibbons Writer. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. See you next week for another episode of Emma Gibbons Content and Copy.